My name is Mindy Gehr, and I'm the Southeast Region Business Development Manager for the Intrust Group and the host for your webinar today, where we are going to discuss how to avoid and prevent from investing in IRA frauds and scams. I am not an expert on this topic, nor is our company, as we are only record keepers and custodians, and we do not have any fiduciary responsibility over our clients' investments. But I would like to share with you today a high-level overview of some of the common industry scams and some things to take in consideration and to be aware of when investing in assets using a self-directed IRA. I hope that y'all find the information presented on this webinar to be valuable and informative, and that it better helps you to evaluate the companies or entities that you are considering investing in using your retirement money. Everyone is going to be on mute, but if you have questions as we go throughout the presentation, please type those in the questions box on your GoToWebinar dashboard, and we will answer those during the live Q&A at the end. Again, please do refrain from asking questions that are specific on confirming the legitimacy of an investment that you are considering investing in, as we cannot confirm that for you, unfortunately. Also, after the webinar, we will be providing audio recordings of the webinar to anyone in the event that you need to leave the webinar early, or if you would like to share it with someone, or if you just really loved the content that we're sharing here today and want to hear it again. That will be available shortly after the webinar. All right, before we get started, I have a quick disclaimer. The Intrust Group does not provide investment advice, tax advice, or legal advice. So we are not CPAs, attorneys, or financial advisors. We do not recommend or endorse any investments, products, or services. And all of the information in this presentation today is for educational purposes only. We do, however, recommend that you do seek investment advice, tax advice, and legal advice before entering into any investment. During the webinar, I'm going to quickly review who the Intrust Group is and a quick overview of self-directed IRAs. I'm going to touch on the different types of IRA frauds and scams that are out there, the top threats for IRA investors, and the ways to spot these types of scams, and then the recourse for scam victims. And then again, at the end, we're going to open it up for the live Q&A. So if you do have questions, please do type those in the questions box on your GoToWebinar. Let's see. A little background on myself. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Mindy Gehr, and I'm the Southeast Region Business Development Manager for the Intrust Group. I have been with the company for almost 5 years now, and prior to joining Intrust, I worked in the retirement industry for several years. My main focus is working primarily with individual alternative asset investors, investment sponsors or issuers, so basically any company that's raising capital. I work with a lot of CPAs, attorneys, and advisors who are diversifying their clients' retirement portfolio with alternative assets, and I work out of our Nashville, Tennessee office. I also would like to share a little background on our company for those of you who are not already familiar with the Intrust Group. We are self-directed IRA record keepers and custodians who specialize in holding alternative assets inside of our clients' retirement accounts. We have been doing this for a little over 40 years, and we have around 25,000 accounts, and that makes up roughly $4 billion in investor assets that we do the administration for. And one factor that makes Intrust unique is our single point of contact business model that we offer to our clients and partners when they open an account with us. And we do that because we understand that this area of business is much more complex than the traditional market, the publicly traded market. So we like to provide a higher level of customer service to our clients and partners. We like to handhold them through that process because there is a decent amount of paperwork that is involved. Most of our staff here at Intrust hold the CISP designation, which is Certified IRA Services Professional designation. We offer national continuing education classes for realtors and CPAs. We hold national and local events and webinars, similar to what we're doing today. We also sponsor the IRA Academy, which is where we actually teach the course that trains others in our industry to pass the CISP course. All right, now that you know a little more about INTREST, I want to quickly discuss what a self-directed IRA is. For anyone on here who may not already be very familiar with a self-directed IRA and the benefits of having a self-directed IRA. I mentioned earlier, INTREST is a self-directed IRA record keeper and custodian. So I want to elaborate a little more on what I mean by self-directed, because there are some custodians out there that say they offer self-directed IRAs, but you are still very limited to the traditional public market of stocks, bonds, mutual funds, or potentially a very limited alternative assets that they offer. But with a true self-directed IRA, it allows you to invest in assets that are not publicly traded. It's not necessarily a type of IRA that dictates what you can or cannot invest in, but rather the record keeper and custodian is what dictates what types of assets you are allowed to invest in based on what they will hold for you. True self-directed IRAs also allow investors to take control of their retirement accounts. And it is a retirement account in which the individual investor or fiduciary — some clients hire financial advisors or RIAs to be fiduciary over their account — they are in charge of making all the investment decisions and can invest in a variety of different asset classes. And when I say different asset classes, the spectrum of what you can actually invest in inside of a self-directed IRA is very broad. There's only three things that you actually cannot invest in, and that's life insurance, collectibles, and S corporations. So spectrum of what you can invest in very large outside of those three items that I just listed. This also allows you to invest in assets that you know and understand the types of risks and returns that are associated with those investments. I will say self-directed IRAs are not for everyone, especially if you are clueless about the assets that you are investing in. Again, it's the account holder who is the fiduciary over the account. I know I've mentioned that a few times. I'm repeating myself on a couple of things, but it's extremely important. So I just want to make sure that I'm conveying that to everyone today. All self-directed IRAs are regulated by the IRC, which is the Internal Revenue Code. And here at INTREST, we hold anything that is allowed by the IRC and that is administratively feasible. All right, by now you should be aware that INTREST does not do any due diligence on the assets that our clients invest in, and you should be very aware that it is the account holder's responsibility and they are the fiduciary over the account. So I want to share with you some things to be on the lookout for when conducting your own due diligence on investments that you may be considering on investing in inside of your IRA. All right, what exactly is an investment scam? Well, an investment scam usually involves promises of things like big payouts, quick money, or guaranteed returns on investments that are stocks, bonds, notes, commodities, currencies, or even in the real estate industry. So always be suspicious of any investment opportunity that promises high returns with little or no risk. I like to say a good rule of thumb is if it seems too good to be true, it probably is, and it's highly likely to be an investment scam. Scammers might even potentially try to trick you into investing money into a fake investment opportunity. Those people are out there, and it's scary and unfortunate, but it does happen. There's several different types of investment scams. And the scammers seem to be getting smarter and smarter, and they're finding creative ways to deceive folks out there. So I want to quickly touch on some of the more common types of scams, so that if you happen to come across any of these types of investments, you'll be aware and on the lookout for certain things. So The first is affinity fraud. This is where scammers try to trick members of a group that has formed based on common characteristics such as age or ethnicity or religion. And they like to act like they are a part of that group to win over the trust of the group leader or the member, and in hopes that the group leader invests, which in turn will trickle down and hopefully all of the other members of that group will invest too. Not cool. There's high yield investment programs. This is where scammers claim you'll make a high return on your money if you invest with them, and that you're guaranteed to make money off of the investment. More often than not, these investments aren't real, or they're just really selling stocks that have almost no value. Also, be aware of those types of schemes. All right, then there's pyramid schemes. This is where scammers will tell you that a small investment can earn a large payout or profit. But you have to find other investors too. So the so-called profit that you get is actually just money that is being paid by other investors. The scheme will eventually fall apart when the scammer runs out of new investors or takes all of the money and runs. So be very aware of pyramid schemes. Then we have the Ponzi schemes, which I'm sure several of you are familiar with that term. This is where a scammer, which is usually a portfolio manager, says that they will invest your money and earn you large payouts. But the money that you get is really just money paid out by other investors, very similar to like a pyramid scheme. The scheme also falls apart when the scammer can't find any new investors to give them money. So be very aware of Ponzi schemes. Then we have pump and dump. This is where scammers buy cheap stock and lie to potential investors about the quality of the stock to raise their prices. The investor might think that the stocks are a good investment, so you will typically buy them at a higher price. And then the scammer will sell off the stock at a higher price, causing the stock prices to drop. And then you're left basically with worthless stocks. So that term is called pump and dump scams. Then we have recovery room schemes. This is where scammers say that they will help you get money back from investment schemes that you've lost money in. They want you to pay the money to them first, and then after you pay them, you never hear from them again. So if you have been scammed, please be very cautious of using third parties to get your money back, because these recovery room schemes are prominent and they're out there and they're taking even more of your money. So be aware of that as well. I'll go over a little bit later on ways to get your money back if you have been scammed. So anyway, unsuitable financial products. This is where a financial advisor may try to sell you something that earns them a lot of money, but is not necessarily a good investment for you as the investor. Financial products that they sell can take a long time to earn the money you were promised. So be aware that if the financial advisor tells you that it's going to take you a very long time, it could be an unsuitable financial product. And if you want to withdraw your money, you might have to pay a large fee. More generally, some financial advisors may even bill you for services you didn't receive or products you didn't even ask for. So not only should you do your due diligence on the actual investments, but it's always a really great idea to also do due diligence on any advisors that you may hire. Scammers are unfortunately more active than ever. Losses from 2021 investment scams were a $1.575 billion. This is a very tragic and alarming statistic. It's 246% increase from 2020, which was $455 million. That's a lot of hard-earned money that was lost due to scammers, so please don't let yourself fall in this statistic. As I mentioned, scammers are getting more creative. So I want to touch on some of the more popular scam fads for 2022 so that you don't become a statistic. There are certain industries that are getting hit harder than others, and there are four big industries for 2022 that's under attack. The first being cryptocurrency and digital asset industry. They are getting classic frauds like the pump and dump and Ponzi schemes that I just referenced a few slides ago. Those are very popular amongst this industry. Some fraudsters in the digital asset space are also posing as crypto traders, or they create false websites claiming to sell packaged investments. So be very diligent about who you're doing business with in the digital asset space. Another industry that is under attack for 2022 are self-directed IRAs, which this hits too close to home for us. Investors with locked-in accounts like pensions, scammers advise moving money to a self-directed IRA since the unlocking would be concealed from the institutions. Know who you're sending your money to before doing this. And I will elaborate more on this in a little bit on the self-directed IRA custodians that are out there that are scammers as well. Another industry that's under attack is social media. And within social media, more specifically, I'm referring to online dating apps. They are getting attacked by scammers way too often. Consumers reported losing $547 million in 2021 alone. And that's from the FTC report, which is the Federal Trade Commission's report. If anyone has seen The Tinder Swindler on Netflix, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's never a good idea to give money to someone that you meet online. And the fourth industry that's under a big attack is promissory notes. The scammers promise returns that are significantly higher than the average market. And the notes are promoted as risk-free, interest-free investments. This is never true with promissory notes, so please be aware of this. All right, let's talk in more depth about the industry that's near and dear to my heart, which is the self-directed IRA space. There are a few key words and phrases to be aware of when doing your due diligence on investments that you are considering to invest in inside of your IRA. So if you hear the phrase such as guaranteed returns, know that there is no such thing as guaranteed returns. It's not that the rate of return, but the promise of a guarantee, which should ring alarm bells. Nothing is 100% safe in the financial markets, not even cash that you have in the bank. That's why FDIC insurance exists, so that savers can get their money back from banks if they fail. If the investment firm is bullying you for your phone number, be on alert. So never share your phone number simply to learn more. You should be able to get proper information about an investment without giving your phone number out. Don't get intimidated into providing your phone number, since legitimate businesses will not become hostile if you do not want to engage or share your number. There's so-called boiler rooms that are run by smooth-talking salespeople who lie for a living. They'll flatter you, they'll confuse you, and then they rush you into making decisions and providing information that you should not be giving out. So do not fall victim to bullying over the phone. If the company's basic details on their website don't add up, be cautious. Check for things like, does the About Us page actually tell you anything about the company, about the history of the company, the team members that make up the company? Are those team members on LinkedIn? Do the web links to official looking groups or sites actually work that they have on their web page? Are there things like independent reviews that you can see? What's the company name? How long have they been in business? So never rely on the promoter to confirm this for you. Check it out yourself. In particular, look for anything official, such as company numbers, tax registration details, financial regulations. Are the basic details for real of this investment that you're looking to invest in? If the investment is missing relevant regulation, that is another big red flag, such as, is the investment registered on Forms D? Couple things to check into. If a scammer implies that the IRS approves or endorses this investment, that should be a huge red flag. The IRS does not endorse any sort of investments, and I'll elaborate on other IRS frauds in a little bit. There are scammers out there that lie about being IRA custodians. So make sure to complete due diligence to ensure that they are properly incorporated, audited, and regulated. For example, InTrust is guided by multiple layers of regulation and oversight. We are federally regulated by the SEC. We adhere to IRS rules and regulations that are subject to the DOL, which is the Department of Labor, regulations for employee benefit plans. We are state regulated by Tennessee because our trust company is chartered in the state of Tennessee. We have internal audits by our financials or of our financials by Stovall, Grandy, and Allen LLP annually. We are also regulated by FinCEN, which is the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. We also carry all of the insurance required for banks and trust companies like E&O insurance, which is error and omissions, which covers potential liability associated with mistakes or omissions during normal course of business. We hold Fidelity Insurance, which protects us and our clients against our employee dishonesty, embezzlement, forgery, computer fraud, wire fraud, and other criminal acts. Now, this insurance is in regards to employees' dishonesty and fraud, not the actual investment that you're investing in. So I wanted to point out there's a difference in that. The custodian should have insurance that protects from the employee fraud, but not from the investment fraud, because you are your own fiduciary. So you are checking for the investment fraud. I know I've said that before and I'm saying it again. All right, be cautious when dealing with anyone who contacts you unsolicited and pressures you to transfer assets from an existing IRA or other retirement account into their product in a self-directed IRA. Never click on things that you did not request. If the investment firm asks you to send them money directly, this is going to be a major red flag. IRA assets should always be held by a separate independent third-party administrator or an approved custodian, and the asset will be held in the name of the IRA and not in your name personally. So never transfer money from a custodian that doesn't hold the type of asset that you want to invest in directly to the investment provider. It should always go to the other custodian first. So the custodian that will actually hold that type of investment needs to receive the money first, and then that custodian that's doing the record keeping of that asset will then send the money to the investment sponsor. So it should never go from the custodian that won't hold that type of asset directly to the investment firm or the investment sponsor that you're investing in. It needs to go to the custodian that holds the asset first, because they are the ones that are doing the record keeping and reporting to the IRS. So if an investment company is asking you to send them the money directly, red flag, the alert, it's potentially a scam. If an investment sponsor issue requests for you to transfer all their money into a single security or product, this should also be a red flag. 100% allocation into an asset is never wise. So if a so-called professional is telling you to do so, that should be signal warnings that they are not legit. No advisor that is legit would ever advise you to invest all of your assets into one asset. All right, IRS fraud has become more prevalent over the years. So I wanted to touch base on 10 things that are not part of the IRS protocol. So if or when you see any of these in the future, you will know it's not a legitimate IRS request. notice or communication, and you can avoid being a victim of IRS fraud because this is happening more often than not. Be on alert that you are being targeted by IRS fraud if the IRS is calling you first. The IRS will not call you first. If they are emailing you, texting you, leaving a pre-recorded voicemail, contacting you via social media, if they are sending you a form that's not on the IRS website, check any form that they are sending you. If it's not on the IRS website, it's not legit. If the person you are speaking with is not aware of what HSPD 12 card is, and the HSPD 12 card is a new standardized federal identity credential that basically protects from identity fraud and legitimizes their position with the IRS. So it means that they are an official employee. So if the individual that you are speaking with on the phone is not aware of what the HSPD 12 card is, they are not legit. If they're asking you for your credit card or debit card number via the phone, it's not legit. It's a red flag. Asking you to pay with gift cards or prepaid cards, never do that. Or saying that you will be arrested, deported, or have your driver's license taken away if you do not act now. That is not something the IRS would ever do. So if the IRS will not do any of those 10 things, so if you are encountered by any of these types of requests, you will know that you have been exposed to IRS fraud and steer clear. All right. If you unfortunately do become a victim of fraud, I want to share some recourse tips. The very first step is to take action against the scammers by reporting the scams and fraudulent investments to regulators and law enforcement. This is going to be the best chance to stop them and to stop them from doing this to others. Then it's a good idea to make a checklist. And the first item on the checklist is to create an investment fraud file. So you start by collecting all the relevant documents, the police reports, anything concerning the fraud, and keep it in a secured file and secured location. The second checkpoint is to know your rights, and that's to know them both from a federal and a state standpoint. State law gives rights to victims of crime. So there are several different ways. On the federal level, the U.S. Department of Justice provides information on victim rights and financial fraud. And on the state level, check with your state attorney general, whose contact information is available on the North American Securities Administrators Association. They also publish what's called Investor Bill of Rights. That is also very helpful when you've been exposed to investment fraud. The third is report fraud to regulators at national, federal, and state levels. So you can report this fraud in as many places as possible. And some of the places that are recommended to report this is the SEC, so the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, FINRA, North American Securities Administrators Association, National Association of Insurance Commissioners, the National Futures Association, U.S. Commodities Futures Trading Commission, Internet Crime Complaint Center, and the Federal Trade Commission, so the FTC. So reach out to all of those entities and report it. The more places you report it, the likelier chances that they're going to stop this from happening to others. The fourth is to report fraud to law enforcement. I already briefly mentioned that, but report it to your local law enforcement, to your district attorney, your attorney general, to federal law enforcement. Report it as much as you can. The next on the checklist is to consider your options. It can be difficult to recover assets lost from fraud, but there are legitimate ways to attempt recovery. In most cases, you can do this on your own at little or no cost. Remember, when trying to recover your losses, be on the lookout for recovery room schemes that I mentioned earlier in the webinar. This is where scammers say they'll help you get your money back that you've lost in an investment scheme, but they make you pay for it first. They take your money and they run and you never hear from them again. Now you've been in two investment frauds. So be cautious of recovery room schemes when you're looking to recover your money from your initial investment loss. And the final item on the checklist is to follow up. Review the steps you've taken and follow up 30 days with any law enforcement agencies or organizations that you've reported to. All right, that concludes the material I'm presenting in the webinar today. Before we dive into the live Q&A, for those that don't have time to stick around, there is another webinar coming up on July 20th. It's called Fire Investing. You can visit our website and sign up for that now, or we will send an email reminding you to sign up if you would like. If you would like more information on self-directed IRAs, you can always email or call me or visit our website and Learning Center. There we have a plethora of information on there. You can also follow us on social media for all relevant industry updates. If you want more information on today's topic, I know I went through some of these points pretty quickly, but please complete our brief webinar survey and we will provide you with the relevant information that you're requesting. Also, we love to hear your feedback on topic suggestions. So we do have a 2-question post-event survey when you exit the webinar. So if you have a few minutes to spare, we would appreciate if you could complete that as well. Also, as a reminder, there will be a recording of this webinar. So if you want to hear it again or like to share it with anyone, that will be available soon. All right, I'm going to open it up for the Q&A now. As a reminder, I'm not an expert on this topic. This material was just to provide you with a high-level overview of what's happening in the industry. And so we do not validate the legitimacy of any of our clients' investments. We are only the record keeper and custodian and do not have fiduciary responsibility over the assets that our clients are investing in. So if your questions are specific to that, please direct those to your financial advisor, your attorney, or your CPA, someone with that you can seek for professional advice. All right, questions. And it does not look like we have any questions. We're just gonna hang tight for another minute or so to see if anyone has any questions. Again, please feel free to reach out to me directly. My contact information is listed here on the screen. If you want follow-up information from the webinar specifically today, there is a quick survey that you can take at the end and we can provide that to you as well. All right, it does not look like there are any questions coming through. So,
Andy, I don't know if you see them, but I see them.
I do not.
No problem. I can read them to you. Let me know if that works.
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Katie asks, if I'm moving money into a brokerage account like Fidelity, how do I know if it's really Fidelity?
Yeah, so that goes back to checking with how the custodian is regulated and audited. Check for the due diligence on the company to make sure that it is actually Fidelity.
Thank you. Next question. I'm not sure you'll be able to answer this, but all the same. What is the best way to make sure a real estate deal is safe, escrow or lawyer?
Yep. Again, do your own due diligence on the investment following some of the recommendations that I listed in the webinar. We highly recommend that you seek professional advice. So if you're not sure, then seek professional advice from an attorney or a financial advisor, whether or not the investment is legitimate or not.
Thank you very much. Next question. Do you have any resources you can point out regarding conducting due diligence on an investment sponsor?
Yes, please submit after the webinar information and we can send that to you.
Thank you. Lastly, or sorry, one more popped in, so second to last. When loaning money, should we use an escrow company?
So we do not provide any sort of investment advice on how to structure your investments. That is going to be a question for an attorney or financial advisor on the best route to do that.
Thank you very much. Next question, describe a custodian to custodian transfer in terms of record keeping.
Yes, that's a great question. So a transfer from custodian to custodian, typically most custodians have contact information from other custodians and they will already have that in a database. For example, we have a spreadsheet of hundreds of custodians that we work for. You can contact the custodian that is holding your money and see if they have direct contact information. Again, doing your own due diligence on the custodian that you're investing with, asking how they're regulated, audited, their certificates of liability, et cetera. But typically a custodian to custodian transfer is direct. That means that the custodian that is holding your money will reach out to the custodian that is, the custodian that is receiving your money will reach out to the custodian that is holding the money and initiate that transfer over. That would be a direct transfer.
Thank you very much, Mindy. That is the last question. So like Mindy said, we'll leave it open for another 30 seconds, 1 minute to get any last minute questions in, but otherwise we are at the end.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're very welcome. Okay, I don't see anything coming in, Mindy, so if you want to take us home, that would be great.
Great, thanks, Andrew. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining me on today's webinar, and I hope that I've provided some valuable information and some things to consider in the future when investing. Please don't hesitate to reach out to me with any questions, and I hope y'all have a great day. Thanks.